Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, in chapter 7 of John's Gospel, it says this: on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Then John explains, "By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. But we praise him that he is now glorified and the Spirit has been given." Amen. In chapter 5 of Ephesians, Paul says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Literally, if we can translate that, instead, go on being filled with the Spirit. Now, God's purpose for all of his children is that we live full of the Spirit. I've just had a couple of weeks of very powerful ministry, a couple of weekends. The weekend before last, I was with all our relating churches in Italy for their annual conference. They got 500 to 600 people from all over Italy for a residential conference for a weekend. That's great because it means everybody's at every session. And therefore, something really built, something powerful was released. It's a great time of anointing. Then last Sunday, I was in Nice in the south of France, where it was considerably warmer than it is here. And I was being greatly encouraged to stay on for a few days in the sunshine, which unfortunately I couldn't do because it was the last week of the college term. Such sacrifices have to be made for the gospel. But last Sunday morning, we had the most powerful time. And I went to Nice last year to visit one church. That had such an impact that four churches came together, and now they want me to go back next year, and I think even more churches are going to come together. So God is birthing something new in Nice. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? The Spirit doing new things amongst God's people. It's not me doing it, you understand. It's God the Holy Spirit. And God gave me a word there that I'm going to share with you this morning, because it's so simple yet had such a profound effect upon the people there, and I think upon all of us. How full of the Holy Spirit are you? Not just this morning, but in your life at present. Jesus said in that scripture that we just read that from deep within those who come and drink of the Spirit, there will flow out rivers of living water. Rivers of the Holy Spirit. So are rivers of the Holy Spirit flowing out of you at present? I don't say that to make any of you feel negative towards what's happening, but to understand that this is God's purpose for all of us all of the time. And actually what he wants is more and more of the Spirit to be flowing out of us. But it's clear that only that which flows into us can flow out of us. And you see, this, it's a myth to think that you only receive the Holy Spirit once, or you're only baptized in the Holy Spirit on one occasion. That's true, but then you have to go on being filled with the Spirit, as Paul says to the Ephesians. And God showed that, demonstrated that in the Acts of the Apostles, because it was on the day of Pentecost that they all received the Spirit. And we read about that in Acts chapter 2. But you only have to get as far as Acts chapter 4, and they all get filled again. And they're not asking to be filled, but they're saying, Lord, we need to speak your word with greater boldness. We need to see your hand stretched out to heal. We need to see you performing mighty signs and wonders in our midst. And we could do with all those things here. Yes. And God knew that the only way to answer such a prayer was to shake the building and fill them with the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't mind whether the building gets shaken or not. There was an occasion when he did shake Rafi, the worship center in Rafi, and the Spirit of God moved upon us some years ago. It was just at the time when Pastor Clive was taking over responsibility for the running of Kingdom Faith. And actually, it was like a tremendous anointing or an ordination, if you like, from above upon his life and ministry. Now, imagine... You've got imagination, haven't you? Imagine a glass, a nice tall tumbler. And if you pour and keep pouring water into it, it will overflow. And of course, water, living water, is one of the ways in which the Holy Spirit is described in the Scriptures. But now, imagine this same glass, but it's half filled with stones. And you pour the water, you will still manage to cause the glass to overflow. But I think we can all agree on our knowledge of physics to be such that we will understand that if it's half filled with stones, you're only going to get half the amount of water in there. Because stones cannot absorb the water. So, what God wants, if we take this to be a figure of our lives, he wants to be sure that in that glass, in your life, there are no stones. Now, if those stones cannot absorb the life of the Spirit, they must represent things that are contrary to the Spirit, things that actually God cannot infuse with his Spirit. He cannot bring to life with his Spirit. They must be, therefore, things that are contrary to his will. Now, what those stones will represent will be different in different ones of us. It may be that some of us are not half filled with stones, but we have just a few stones in the bottom. But still, that limits what God actually wants to do in filling the whole glass without any obstacles. One of the commands in Scripture, which is a good one for preachers, is remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. And you see, those stones are like obstacles to the best purpose of God in our lives. So God doesn't want them there, and we would be much better without them. Because if they're obstacles to the Holy Spirit, they're obstacles to the best will of God for our lives. Some of us may be three-quarters filled with stones and just a little bit of the Holy Spirit, but because the cup still overflows and, you know, we see some of the evidence of the Spirit flowing in our lives, we might be content and think, well, that's all right. Some of us may be half-filled, some just a little bit of stones. Some of you may say, well, I don't think I've got any stones. There may be a few little things in my life that are not what God wants. Well, that's gravel. And gravel is just very small bits of stone. And gravel still cannot absorb the water. I have a fish tank in my office, and you have gravel at the bottom of the fish tank. And, you know, the water can look nice and clear and when it's clean as it should be. And the gravel is at the bottom. But let me tell you, if you stir up the gravel, there's dirt there. And the water becomes cloudy because all the dirt sort of sinks and sinks into the gravel. So just thinking that, you know, well, there's just a few small issues in my life, they're still resisting the best and the finest purpose of God for our lives. So what does God want? He wants to take out the stones, whatever they represent. We'll come to that in a moment. He wants to take out those stones for our benefit. Some years ago, I was attacked by having gallstones. And the medics told me, gallstones, kidney stones, the most violent pain that you can experience. I did not need to be told that. But you see, this is it. Stones in your life cause pain. Physically, yes, but also spiritually. They cause spiritual pain. They disrupt our peace. They steal our joy. They limit, if you like, the way in which God can work in us and through us. So we want God to take out the stones, because, again, according to the law of physics, the less stones, the more water. And as the water represents the Holy Spirit, it's not just a question of saying, Lord, give me a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit or a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit. It's also a question of saying, Lord, I want all these stones out of my life to make more room for your Spirit. And this is the point. The less stones, the more room for God. So, what do these stones represent? Well, they represent anything in your life or my life that would be contrary to God's word. So, for example, judging others is a big stone. Because Jesus said, if you judge others, then you will be judged yourself. And as Jesus died to save us from all judgment, it doesn't seem sensible to put ourselves back under judgment because we judge others. So judging and condemning others, those are big stones. Sort of gossiping and speaking against our brothers and sisters in Christ in a negative way, they're big stones. That's not gravel. They are big stones that need to be taken right out of our lives, because that indicates an impurity of heart. And this is the point, that if our hearts were totally pure before God, there would be no stones. So if you think of the life of Jesus for a moment when he was on earth, his glass was completely free of stones, just full of the purity of the Holy Spirit. If there had been one stone, even if there had been just a little piece of gravel, a little bit of grit, there would have been no salvation for us, because his offering on the cross would not have been a perfect one. So it's always amazing to me that Jesus shared our weakness, was tempted in every way just as we are, yet there wasn't even the tiniest bit of grit in his glass. Absolutely pure water, pure life poured out in sacrifice for you and me. So he lived that totally obedient life to the Father. I mean, he is the judge of the living and the dead. If anybody had the right to judge, it would be Jesus. But he said, I haven't come to judge, I've come to save.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
And he even said, I haven't come to be served, I've come to serve. So all the ways in which we have sort of negative attitudes and expect to be served rather than to serve, that's all stones. That's all gravel in the bottom of the glass. Any disobedience to the word of God, any unbelief that there is when God speaks his word to us through the scriptures and by the Spirit, all that's gravel. When we lose sight of the promises that God has given us and do not live according to those promises and claim the fulfillment of those promises, which I'll speak a little bit about in a few minutes, then that's all stones, it's all gravel, it's all in opposition to the Lord's will and purpose for us. And it's amazing how often Christians are praying for the outworking of God's word in their lives, and yet at the same time tolerating things that are stones and gravel, stuff that is in opposition to God. And then they wonder why there isn't more power and effectiveness in their praying and in their walk with Jesus. And it isn't that we've got to become all introspective. The worst possible thing you can do is to look at your glass and try to search for the gravel and the stones. The Holy Spirit will show you where those are and what those things indicate. And he will say, he's probably said it already to you a number of times in different ways, but without necessarily using this imagery. He's saying, I don't want that in your life. That doesn't belong. That's not the right attitude. That doesn't glorify me. This is not what I'm telling you to do. So those things, if we ignore them, the stone remains in the glass. And that limits the amount with which the Holy Spirit can move in our lives. So what I believe God wants to do this morning is to get rid of all the stones. As we prayed this last weekend in Nice, the Spirit of God really moved so powerfully. And after these four churches that were meeting together, they had a lunch together, a picnic lunch, because they could guarantee the weather there. And but I heard when I came back for the evening meeting, because I wasn't actually involved in the picnic, but when I came back for the evening meeting, that everybody had been talking to one another. I've got rid of my stones. God's taken this and God's taken that and God's taken the other. Because you see, this is the will and the purpose of God. He wants to take away all the stones because they're a hindrance to us. They're spiritual pain for us. So wouldn't it be good to go out of this building this morning stone free? Amen. We certainly don't want to be stoned, because the scripture says, do not get drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but rather go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to be cleansed of all stones. Hallelujah. And then we're going to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. But there's one particular thing that God has laid on my heart this morning, which probably is a big stone in the lives of many of us here. I mean, there may be all kinds of areas of disobedience, secret sins, and this, that, and the other that are going on in some people's lives. I trust not too much, because God has done a lot of the purifying and refining of our lives in recent months. But that's a process that goes on all the time. The Father prunes the branches of the vine that they may be more fruitful still. And we should never back away from the Lord's discipline and refining of our lives, because he disciplines those he loves. And so it's always a sign of his love when he wants to get rid of the obstacles, when he wants to get rid of the things that hinder us in our lives. It isn't just that he's searching for sin in our lives. He wants us to live in the liberty and the freedom that he won for us on the cross. Now, are there situations that you've been praying for, perhaps for some time, and you haven't seen an answer? You haven't seen a resolution to those things? Perhaps for healing in your life or in someone else's life. And you know the word, because we're a Bible-believing church here, you know what the word says about healing. You know what Jesus has already accomplished on the cross, that he bore the punishment that brought us peace, and by his stripes we are healed. You know that it is the nature of God to heal, because the first covenant name by which he revealed himself to his people Israel is, I am the Lord who heals you, or I am the Lord your healer. We know that the whole purpose of Jesus Christ was to bring salvation, and salvation is actually healing. It's healing of spirit, soul, and body, that Jesus gave himself on the cross fully in order that we might know that full salvation, that total healing in our lives. And so, I wonder if you've been asking the Lord for healing, telling him you're believing for the healing, and yet you haven't seen the healing. Would that be true for anyone? So what can we do to remedy this situation? Because the fault cannot be with God. The fault somehow must be with us. I expect when you pray for healing and such things, you're very polite with the Lord, because you're sort of looking for him to bless you and to give to you in some way. And as I was praying during the night, God spoke so clearly. He just dropped something in my spirit. Stop being so nice with God. I knew what he meant. Something came across me. And I found myself saying to God, you have to. It's your word. You're faithful. I stand on your word. I believe your promises. You cannot fail to answer the word that I claim in the name of Jesus. You cannot. You cannot deny yourself. You cannot deny your holy name. I felt God was saying, go on, go for it. Because this is faith. This isn't being, oh, Lord. I mean, I love abiding in the peace of God. But I just realized this has been a stone in my glass. That I've been too nice. And I mean, I know and believe the principle of standing on the word of God, but just telling God, you cannot say no. You cannot deny me. I am your son. I'm standing on the promise of your word. You are faithful. You cannot deny yourself. I tell you, I feel a whole lot better than I did in the middle of the night. I went back to bed and I had a good sleep. See, sometimes we don't even recognize the stones we have. That's right. And we think it's all about being submissive. But you see, what was I doing? I was being submissive to his word. Yeah. It was like Jesus saying, oh, now you really believe my word. Now you really believe my faithfulness. Now you really are standing on my word and refusing to accept anything that is less than my word. Are you at the same meeting I'm at here? I love times like that, you know, because it's revelation, isn't it? God opens our eyes and I say, yes! I know that. And yet I haven't known it. I've known the theory of it, but I haven't necessarily put it into action. Amen? Or as aggressively as I did in the middle of the night. I thought, you know, yesterday I was sort of praying, well, Lord, you just bring the word. I didn't know if you wanted me to use this illustration of the glass and the stones, but he made clear to me that this is what he wanted me to do. Then he moved upon my heart and life in the way I've just described. So I think it's time for us to get much, 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 much more aggressive in prayer. We're not just praying nice things into the ether, hoping that God is going to hear us. We're standing on the word, which cannot. Cannot fail for those who believe it. You will receive whatever you ask in prayer if you believe. Can't get away from it. If you believe what? If you believe God's word, if you believe God's faithfulness to his word. Doesn't matter how negative the situation may seem. Our God is greater than any situation. We know that. So, Lord, get all the gravel, get all the stones of unbelief out of our lives. Let us see the substance, the evidence, the outworking of your promises in our lives. And you see, you know what it's like when you don't get answers to prayer. You almost inevitably start to look at yourself. And you say, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Is there something? Is there some reason? And you see, it's not a question of, okay, God is only going to bless us when all the stones are out the glass. But God is going to bless us when we believe him. When we trust him. And actually, you know, there are stones in every one of our glasses that you can't deny that. Because none of us is living in the perfection of Jesus. But the great thing is this, that the love of God is greater than any sin. And faith in the Lord covers every area of our lives. And what God does is he answers the faith. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. And what I realized, you know, as God was doing this work in me during the night, what I realized was, praise God, there's now more room in the glass. Amen? I've seen some very, very powerful things in the last few weeks, but, oh boy, I'm looking forward to camp. Because camp this year is going to be extraordinary. Now, I probably say that every year. But every year it is. But this year it's going to be more extraordinary than extraordinary. Because I believe God wants to do something in us. And you see, this is the point. Never lose your momentum. You see, God has been getting us, he's been working in us. He's been working upon us in a certain way during these last few weeks and months, all the way through this year. And he always is moving us to keep going forward, forward, forward. Because Jesus is the good shepherd. He goes before us. We are the sheep. We follow him. Our eyes are fixed on him. So, beloved ones, we're going to keep going. And what I want you to do between now and Faith Camp is to keep the momentum going of really seeking after God with all your heart. Because that is His word. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. And I believe, you see, God can do such a work amongst us here in these coming weeks that we're going to be a great blessing to the thousands of people who will be at Faith Camp. Or God will be the blessing, but He will bless them through us. I would have to say that this is not the first time that God has done this in my life. But it's amazing how sometimes God teaches you something and you can get out of the way of it. In a very subtle way, without realizing that's what has happened. And it's like God was saying to me, come on, you know that if you stand on my word and refuse to deny my faithfulness, you will see my power at work. Do three of you believe it, or more than that? I heard three amens. So I think this is an exciting time. So I don't want us to look at ourselves, get all introspective and say, oh God, show me what all, you know, I've got so many stones. No, let the Lord show you what is hindering you. Whether it's the wrong attitudes towards Him, towards others, towards yourself, whether it's negative thinking, negative speech, or whatever. There's no time to go into the whole range of things that it could be in your life. But it's time to lose the stones. It's time for more of the Spirit. It's time for us to make room for more of the Spirit. Not only in our lives, but whenever we come together to pray, to worship, on Sundays, whatever, we want more room for the Holy Spirit. So that our anticipation, our expectation is every time we meet together, the power of God moves amongst us in sovereign ways that nobody can deny. And that we don't go out of here saying, oh, that was a good meeting. Oh, it was a blessing today. Oh, that word was encouraging. Anything like that. But we go out saying, what a great God we have. What a mighty God. What a faithful God. He's so true to His word. He's so true to His ways. He never fails. He never forsakes. He always honors His word. He always honors faith in His word. He never denies Himself. He never denies those who believe in His word. Never. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of faith. I believe we're on the beginning of something which is going to bring us to the place where we don't just see more healings and a few more people getting saved, but we see extraordinary things, extraordinary miracles that you would never, ever anticipate that it would be possible to see. We're going to see great, great, great transformation in the lives of people if only we respond to what God says. Because He doesn't do these things just because somebody stands on a platform and says He's going to do them. He does them because of what He's worked in our hearts and lives. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Let's get rid of the spiritual pain in our lives, shall we? Shall we? Yes. Say, Lord, I don't want anything in my glass, anything in my life that resists Your Holy Spirit, that resists the outworking of Your word in my life. Nothing, Lord. Nothing. And if there is anything, show it to me. I'm not going to go searching. I believe You will show it to me. And I know that when you show it to me, that means you want to deal with it there and then. That you don't want to show me something and leave me living in it. You want to show it to me and to get rid of it. Amen? So, are you ready to be set free from these stones? Those of you that went through the life course that Phil was talking about earlier, see, lots of stones would have got out of people's lives. Lots of stones. But of course, that process goes on and on, as it does with all of us. We never come to that place of perfection where we can say, oh, I've arrived. But praise God, this is going to be such a powerful congregation. I mean, this is going to be such a powerful church. God is going to transcend anything that he's done in the past. Isn't he? I mean, if we put this into operation, the sky is the limit. I mean, it really is. There's no limit to what God can do amongst us. So shall we all stand? Hallelujah. First of all, I want you to thank the Lord. Now that means you have to speak words to him. You don't have to speak so loud that all those around you can hear, but you standing up and thinking thoughts is not the same as praying. That's thinking thoughts. Now you're going to speak to the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Because he says he will do whatever you ask in prayer. And when you ask, you don't think, you ask. Right? So first of all, thank the Lord that the glass in your life belongs to him. It's not actually your glass, it's his glass. He paid the price for it on the cross. Hallelujah. He purchased that glass with his own blood. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine, says the Lord. Hallelujah. So thank him for that. Thank him for this glass. Now, if you've already born again, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then thank him for the gift of the Spirit. Thank him for all that he has done in your life by his Spirit already. Don't deny the good of what he's already done just because you want to see him doing more. But be thankful for what he has done. Thank him for that precious gift of the Spirit. Thank him for the way in which his Spirit is with you always. That even when you've messed up, he has never removed his Spirit from you. He has never taken the anointing away. But in his mercy and in his grace, you still have that great blessing of the Holy Spirit living in you. Come on, just praise him and thank him for that. What a God of mercy. What a God of grace. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. 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 Popara Santara Sandara. Come on, give him thanks. Give him thanks. Such a precious gift. Such a precious gift. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, let's just be still. Lord, you said on that last and greatest day of the feast, come to me and drink. Well, Lord, we're here this morning and we're going to drink. We're going to drink afresh of your Spirit. And Lord, we claim the promise that you gave, that from deep within those who believe, there would flow out rivers of living water. And we dare to believe that rivers of living water are going to flow out of our deep innermost being. But Lord, those rivers, those streams of living water are going to be greater in the future than they've been in the past.
because, Lord, more of your Spirit is going to fill the glass. So we ask you this morning, take out the stones. Holy Spirit, we ask you now to reveal to each person in this room what those stones represent. Perhaps, Lord, there's not time for you to give us a long list, because there may be a long list for some of us. But, Lord, the most significant ones that are actually resisting the finest purposes that you have for us in your Spirit. Just speak clearly, we pray, to each one. Let us see. Let us not evade things. Let us not try to excuse ourselves. But let us face the reality of what you're saying. We want to leave this room without these stones this morning. Without these obstacles to your best purposes in our lives. If one of those obstacles is that we've been too genteel in the way that we prayed, not aggressive and powerful and believing enough, then thank you, Lord, you want to remove that stone. So that we become a people of much greater faith. Lord, if it's judgment, condemnation of others, take that stone out, we pray. If it's prayerlessness, take that stone out. If it's a lack of spiritual discipline, take that stone out, we pray. If it's having an over-casual attitude towards you, take that stone out. If, Lord, it's a failure of relationships, of wrong attitudes towards others, take that stone out, we pray. Whatever those stones are, we thank you that when you went to the cross, you took every stone, every bit of gravel, even every grain of sand was covered on that cross so that we could be set free from all of these things. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are always faithful to your word and faithful to your promises. When we believe what you say, when we believe your promises, when we claim those promises by faith and make them our own, and we fulfill the conditions that go with the promises. So we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus, taking away these stones, taking away these stones. Come on, thank him now, because you see, it's as easy as that, isn't it? Ask and you shall receive. Everyone who asks receives. So right now, thank the Lord that he's dealing with those stones, that he's taking them out of the glass, out of your life. You're not going to persist in the same way in the future as you have been in the past. And now, beloved, now there's more room in your glass for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The negative is replaced by the positive life of Christ in you, the hope of glory. So lift up your hands now to the Lord. Lift up your hands. Look to Jesus. He promised that when he returned to the to the Father in heaven. He would pray for the Holy Spirit to come. Come on, pray now. Pray now. Ask and you shall receive. How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Say, Lord, come and fill my glass afresh. Fill me to overflowing. Lord, where before there were stones, let there now be life. Where before there was death, now life. Where before sin, now righteousness. Where before there was unholiness, now godliness. Come on. Come on, Jesus. Come on. By the power of your Spirit, pour your life. Pour your life. Come on, begin to praise him. Begin to praise him. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit isn't an experience. He's the life of God. Believe right now. That life is filling your life. That anointing is increasing in your life right now, right now, right at this moment. God is doing it. God is answering right now. Right now, right now, right now, right now. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Because you're claiming the fulfillment of the promise now. You're coming and drinking now. And he's not refusing you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So thank him now that streams of living water are going to pour out of your life in much greater measure than in the past. Come on, praise him. I want to hear the praises of God's people. I want to hear the thanksgiving of God's people. Okay, are you ready now for some powerful praying? Are you ready to stand on the word of God and say, Lord, I'm fed up with praying about a situation again and again and again and again and again and seeing it unresolved when I'm praying to a God who is faithful? A God who honors his word. I stand upon your word. Come on, tell him now about those situations. I'm standing on your word, Lord. I'm standing on your promises. I'm believing in your faithfulness. You cannot deny yourself. You cannot deny your word. You cannot deny your promise to those who believe your word and those who believe and claim your promises. So, Lord, I thank you that now I'm going to see resolution in these situations. I'm going to see movement. I'm going to see change. I'm going to see transformation in every one of these situations about which I prayed. Lord, I might have been faithful in praying again and again and again, but Lord, you don't want me to pray, have to pray again and again and again. You want to resolve these situations so I don't need to pray again and again and again. So I praise you, Lord. I bless you. I thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's get aggressive now. You just tell the Lord. Come on, come on. Don't be afraid to. Don't be afraid to. Nobody else is listening to you except Jesus. Come on, you tell him, shake the heavens. Shake the heavens with your prayer. Shake the heavens. Let heaven know you believe. Let heaven know you believe that you're not going to take no for an answer. Jesus never teaches us to expect the answer no. He says you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. If you live in me and my word lives in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Come on, let's believe his word. Let's stand on his promises. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Oh, paparazandaria leto bakalasita risandama. Bazandaria lero bakalasita risandama. Bastigalaria lero bakalasandama. Lord, I thank you that we've got these weeks of aggressive prayer, of aggressive faith, of standing on your word leading up to camp. We believe, Lord, that you're going to bless thousands and thousands of people. You're going to start a new move of the Spirit in this nation. You're going to do things, Lord. We see the politicians don't have an answer. All they can do is create chaos. But, Lord, you're going to bring order out of the chaos. You're going to bring your kingdom. Your kingdom will come and your will be done in this nation. We thank you, Lord, that the climate is changing so that now your voice can be heard. And we thank you that you are going to raise up people all over this nation who will be bold in proclaiming what you say, who will be bold in believing your word, who will stand upon your word. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. I'm thanking the Lord. Is anybody else thanking the Lord? Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Some of you may be thinking, Pastor Colin, you're not usually like this on a Sunday morning. Well, you don't know me. Let me tell you, this is revival style preaching. This is revival style praying. This is how we pray. This is how we preached in the times of revival that we've known. It's no nonsense stuff. We're not tiptoeing through the tulips. Hallelujah, we're going for God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. We're even going to pray with all our might. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just thank him. Just lift your hands and praise him. Let's finish with a great burst of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, last Sunday, we were being driven around, well, last weekend, we were being driven around Nice by a lady dentist. She just happened to be a dentist. That's not all that significant to the testimony. But she said to us in the car, after the Sunday evening meeting, she said, I don't know what normally happens at your meetings, but when you told us to speak out the word to one another at the end of what he had done in our lives, I turned to the man next to me, who's a big, tall man. I didn't know because he was from one of the other churches, not my church. And I said to him what you told us to say. I can't remember exactly what that was now. And then I said to him, and God wants you to know that your right knee is completely healed. And she said, I don't know where that came from because I've never said anything like that to anyone before. And the man said to me, how do you know that? And she said, well, that's what God told me to say to you. And he just broke down in tears. And it transpired that he'd had an accident. He'd been in continual pain for 5 years with that knee. God had completely healed him. Now, you know, there are more important healings than the healing of a knee, unless it's your knee. And so that was a great encouragement to that man, but it was a great encouragement to that dentist. And she was a good witness for the Lord because she said, the good thing about being a dentist is you can witness and they can't answer back. Praise God. So, I mean, you know, she was an on-fire believer, but God had never used her like that before. Are you expecting to be used in new and different ways? So why don't we turn to one another now and say, God has taken stones out of my life. Now, I don't want you to say all the stones because I think what God will do during these coming days is probably show you a few more stones. And you don't have to wait for another meeting and say, right, that's going. I'm speaking to that stone now in the name of Jesus. Say, get out of my life. You don't belong. I'm not having any hindrances to the working of the Spirit in my life. Is that okay? So why don't we just turn to one another and say, God is taking all the stones out of my life. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm happy. Is anybody else happy? Is anybody else full of joy in this place? Oh, hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. You know, I've been singing a little ditty in these past few days. There's going to be a revival in the land. Yes, from the east and the west and the north and the south, there's going to be a revival in our land. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's believe that. And let's be part of it. Let's be in the vanguard. Let's be right in the forefront. Amen. Because we're chasing after God with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our souls, all of us. We're going for God. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. And all God's people said, now, turn to them again and say, you're going to have a wonderful week.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.